Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everyone? This is PLR. Hope everyone had a honor those who sacrifice. Hopefully you had a good one. Friends, family, and guests. Appreciate the time that we have. As you know, we are brought to you by Alma School and Chandler Heights. Get down there, let them know that PLR sent you. Any cigar purchase you have, they will take 10% off. You cannot beat that. You can either take your cigars home or you can stay there and enjoy them. There's a lounge in the back, there's a sitting area in the front. Each area has at least five.
Let's see if we can get Ed back online with us. Again, this is PLR with The Cave Show. Thanks for definitely hanging out with us. I think we got him online right this time. The one only Ed Smith. Ed, what's happening?
Brother Paul, what's going on, man? Sorry for those technical difficulties. I got booted out a couple times.
No worries. Sometimes that happens. What's going on with you?
Man, I can't complain. Enjoyed a beautiful Memorial Day weekend. They always go by too fast, but, you know, I had a lot of time, you know, good time spending some time with the family. And, you know, as we always do, we always recognize what the holiday is, you know, for all those men and women out there who've served in the past, present, and future. You know, we honor them. So it was great, great weekend.
Yes, sir. They paid the ultimate price for our freedoms.
Exactly.
Well, listen, I want to get into some of this because, like I was saying, we have a lot of topics to talk about. We have, you know, somehow Colin Kaepernick is still unsigned, and I thought Seattle was a sure deal. We have that melee in San Francisco. NBA finals are finally here, so we can definitely get into that. And Tiger Woods? I think we should start with Tiger. I never thought I'd say I actually feel really bad for Tiger.
Well, you know, I feel bad for him too because it's, you know that old saying that it's like everybody's kicking him when he's down, and he just gave everybody so much fuel with this incident. And, you know, like I said, I've been getting all the conflicting reports about, you know, initially it was, you know, he refused to take a breathalyzer. Then the reports are that he did and he blew zeros. But then obviously we have some issues with the prescription drugs and stuff like that. My hope is that in his life, golf is not the only thing he has. Obviously, he's got a ton of money. He's got a beautiful family. You know, hopefully that's enough to sustain him because the golf portion of his life might be open. Now it's that time to write that second chapter, you know, whatever he's going to do. And hopefully he has enough in his life to fill that void because otherwise we could be seeing a whole lot of these type of incidences and that would be very sad.
Yeah, you know what I hope this is? It's just he didn't know mixing those, whatever he took, would cause that. And for whatever reason, that's what it sounds like. And as you said, I'm hoping that this isn't a dependency because we've lost a lot of stars for accidental drug overdoses. And so I hope that's not, this isn't the route.
Yeah, I'm with you too, Paul. I'm whatever happened to the day when somebody like does something honestly that might be stupid, but it is just an isolated incident. You know, nowadays, because, you know, I heard where, you know, Jack Nicklaus, you know, he's like, we need to come together for Tiger. Like, you know, this is a big, you know, like warning flag. Every now and then somebody just does something stupid because this is kind of out of character for him. We haven't seen anything like this before. Maybe he just had an incident where he took too much of the medication and wasn't realizing what he's doing. He probably has been in a lot of pain, took some stuff, mixed it, got a little confused, it kicked in at the wrong time. You know, so be it. So I'm hoping that's the case, and I hope that, you know, everybody doesn't fly off the handle right now, and all of a sudden we start seeing him plastered on the covers of all the tabloids for no reason at all. Let's find out what happened, you know, if we can, you know, do some research, get what the honest truth is, and then move on. But I hope this just doesn't become one of those things where now it's a daily story, and now we're tracking Tiger like we're tracking the leader at one of the events.
I think it's funny how I saw a newspaper headline today. I don't remember which one it was, but it said washed up golfer. It's amazing how 9 years ago, everyone is riding his coattails to the bank, and now he's washed up. For someone that's, you know what, if he had won one major and made a bunch of noise, but only won one or two majors, and then all of a sudden he just fell off, then maybe you could say washed up. But the man is second only behind one person, and he fell off because of injuries. How do you call him washed up? It's like everyone is waiting for him to fail.
Well, here's the thing. When you're on top, everybody wants to walk next to you. And, you know, all them golfers, I question every one of those golfers that while Tiger was on top of the world, everybody wanted to be his friend, be associated with Tiger, reap the benefits of Tiger. Then when he fell off, then all of a sudden all you heard was, well, yeah, I knew he was had that in him all along. And, you know, and that's the type of guy he's always been. Nobody just ever talked about, well, how come nobody talked about Tiger supposedly being what he is now when it was, you know, when it was all good to be, like I said, in his stable. And that's the type of people I don't like. And, you know, I'm not going to pretend like I'm the biggest Tiger enthusiast in the world. But you get to a point where you're tired of watching people beat up on somebody. And you almost like, you know, I'm hoping not for a comeback in golf, but more than anything, just a comeback in life. Whatever his next chapter is, I hope he's successful at it. And a lot of those people that jumped off the bandwagon, when they try to get on, I hope they see the bottom of a Nike right in their forehead.
I like that. I shouldn't be laughing at the violence, but I'm with you on that.
I'm serious, man. Think about all the people that had all that stuff to say after the fact. And I hate those, you know, Johnny Come Latelys. You know, like I said, I'm hoping he recovers. And like I said, I hope his second chapter has a lot of people, you know, trying to climb back on. But, you know, the ticket is canceled.
Isn't it funny? They're calling him washed up. But we're here. We're not. No one's talking about Phil Mickelson and his insider trading possibility or his gambling debt. We're not hearing nothing about that. That's real silent right now.
That's how it goes, man. They pick and choose who they want to, you know, climb all over. And Tiger, like, and here's the thing: you can't candy coat it. Tiger didn't make a whole bunch of friends along the way. You know,
no.
Never been the most cordial person in the world. You know, kind of shunned the media, the public in general, and always to a certain degree thought he was on another level. But at the same time, there's a whole bunch of people that want to be on that same floor with him, pretending like he was their best friend. And then in his time of need, they all turn their back on him. Those are the people, and, you know, a lot of fans, too. How many fans walking around with the Tiger Woods emblem and stuff like that and, you know, following him in the gallery and everything? Then all of a sudden, like I said, when things transpired, now he's the, you know, he's Satan himself walking on earth. You know, it's, you know, like I said,
yep.
he who without sin cast that first stone, you know?
Yeah, I just think it's funny how his one guilt is indiscretion.
Yeah.
When you really stop and think about it, that's what he was guilty of, indiscretion.
And
there are so many athletes out there
that are the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So
tons of them out
really
there doing the same thing, yep.
When you think about it, that's all he's really guilty of.
I'd like to hear more about the story about where he was coming from and what he was doing, though. It was like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a right to live his life, but, you know, like I said, at the same time, you got, you know, here's my thing. With as much money as that man has, and I know he's not an Uber-type guy, but, I mean, I got to have a driver or somebody waiting on me when I know when I'm going out to do some stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Sorry.
At least get you a black car. You can Uber with a black car. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Exactly.
and there's no shame in that game right there. Definitely Uber with the black car. But like I was saying, like you said, I hope everything with him is well, and this is one of those one-offs where, I mean, I think we've all in our lifetime, if anyone has ever been on any type of pain med, I think we've all taken something and said, oh, wow, this one was no joke right here.
Yeah.
So I think that's really just one of those that had happened. Ed?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I thought I lost you. I've been having a little bit of a connectivity issues.
Yep, I'm here.
So, yeah, I think that's just what, you know, what happened. And I'm hoping that that's the case. Had it gone off, you know, get over this one off, and hopefully as a human being, everything will be well again.
I got to ask you a question, though, man. I mean, obviously, you know, there's nothing pretty about anybody's booking photo. But, I mean, he looks like he has aged tenfold over the last, you know, like you said, 9-10 years. It looks like he is just, you know, he doesn't look like the young tiger, you know, just a few short years ago. So hopefully whatever it is, or maybe he was just tired that night or whatever. But you would think that, you know, he would – I'm not sure what he's out there doing, but you would think he'd have enough time to be getting enough sleep to get rid of some of that, because he looks rough.
You know, it's amazing how sometimes when you're just on top and you're living a facade, and let's be honest, you know, when you're in the world and you're married and you have that life on TV where everything is perfect, you got the perfect wife, the perfect kids, the perfect this, but that's not really what's happening in your life. And when it comes out, sometimes that hits you hard, you know, and it kind of reminds me of Kobe Bryant, to be honest with you, not in that he had an indiscretion, but, you know, when Kobe first came out, he tried to leave that angel style, A-Rod, answer every question right thing, and then when he got in a little bit of trouble, and obviously he got out of it, there was no, you know, nothing ever charged in the end, he dropped everything, but it's almost like that's when he just said, you know what, all these people that were with me going up, they're loving watching me struggle. So when I get through this, I'm saying what's on my mind from now on, and I don't really even care anymore. And it almost seems like he was more popular after that than he was when he was trying to say everything right in public, but doing everything different behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes guys, just because they're rich and they can be mentally tough on their field or court or course or whatever, they're not mentally tough when it comes to the other things. And it just doesn't seem like this is one of those cases where that's an area where he may be as mentally tough. But
yeah,
we shall see.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Ed?
I wanted to say, you know, you pick up something very interesting there, and I've said this for years, and, you know, to a certain degree, I always thought when Tiger fell off, it showed me one thing. When he was in the lead and when he was on top of the world, and they used to always talk about how clutch he was and, you know, eye of the tiger and stuff like that. It's really easy to do that when you're always on top or in front. When he kind of fell off and then had to play catch up and, you know, sometimes come from behind, you almost saw how, I guess you want to call it, lack of, I guess, clutchiness or fire he had in him, because, you know, it seemed like he could never bring it up from the rear. It was always when he was ahead, you couldn't touch him, but his confidence was so lacking when he was trying to rebuild itself, and that's something that, you know, not everybody has. Like I said, it's easy to run, you know, when you're a mile ahead of everybody else, but when you're right in the middle of it, it's like somebody being on that free throw line. When you're up by 20, man, that bucket looks as big as the ocean. When you're down one with 3 seconds up on the clock, all of a sudden that thing looks like a thimble up there. So I kind of noted that about Tiger. Like I said, it was very easy for him early in his career, and then like these last few years, you know, like what player, like where would you ever think or imagine somebody like him would have the yips, where he can't even chip a ball onto a green, or he's doing just driving or at a charity event, and all he has to do is put it on the green or even on the grass, and he's hitting them in the water. That shows you like how thin the line is from like that mental superiority and that you know that thing that they always talk about. You know, like I say, he kind of crumbled under some of the pressure.
You know who's like that? Ronda Rousey and Mike Tyson.
Oh,
when they were on top of the world, there was nothing you could do. When Mike Tyson had beat people before they even stepped in the ring, you couldn't stop him. Once Buster Posey hit him in the jaw and he knocked out the bully, no one was scared anymore. Same with Ronda Rousey. When she was choking people out in, you know, in 30 seconds, there was no stopping her. She was talking all this stuff, whatever. The second she got beat and no one was no longer afraid of her, she lost it. She completely lost it.
Exactly.
And I was, you know, and the intimidation factor is gone. And that's why you look at guys like a Michael Jordan who goes out, you know, wins three rings, leaves the game, comes back, gets humbled by Orlando, and what does he do? He turns around and wins three more rings.
There you go.
That, to me, that's a champ. Muhammad Ali gets knocked out, jaw broken, everything. What does he do? Comes back, and he becomes a three-time world champ. So those, to me, are the champs. Those are the ones that are invincible. And I'll even throw Kobe in there. He has the wins three rings, bowls up with his teammates, has the charges, team stinks, stays in there, fights back, and doesn't stop till the rings come back. To me, that's just the epitome of a fighter, that no matter what you throw at them, they're going to figure out a way to come back up to the top again. And that's the difference between a lot of these guys.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right, so I got to ask you this, because we talked about it last time you hung out with me. Ed, what is up with these baseball dudes? What is going on? This melee in San Francisco last night where we got Strickland mad over something that happened 3 years ago. It was 3 years ago that Bryce Harper went deep on him and stared at the ball. What is wrong with these guys? He waited 3 years to hit him?
Well, the even more telling part is your boy Buster Posey, who a catcher's job, and I will tell anybody. Some of my baseball buddies, they've gotten back, like they've been joking about this. If I was ever on a team and a brawl broke out or something like that happened, the catcher's first and only responsibility, you do whatever you have to do. You knock your own grandmother out of the way to get in front of the opposing hitter to protect your pitcher. Posey not only didn't get in front of him, he stood there and let the man get all the way to the mound, throw a helmet at him, had his head down like, damn, I got to go out there, and then did a light jog out there. I mean, that shows how little respect he even had for what the pitcher did. And for me, that ain't nothing but some saltiness for that pitcher to be thinking 3 years in the past, he pimped me on this or he did this, and I'm going to get him. You know, that right there, I was thinking about this, Paul. If I was in Harper's situation, if that ball would have hit me and it would have been close enough for me to pick up, I would have ran and got it, charged the mound, and threw it at him as fast as I could have. Now, the fact that he didn't, obviously, he went out there with the helmet. Because think about this. When they talk, eye for an eye, right? You just pelted me with a 90-plus mile fastball on purpose. Now, the league can get mad at me all they want, but all I did was retaliate an eye for an eye. So I don't know what he was doing with the helmet. I don't know what – I mean, he had a weapon – he chose to launch it like 15 feet in the other direction, but that right there would have sent a message too. This whole thing with baseball needs to stop. It's getting ridiculous.
You are so right. Hey, you know what happened before this game, right? Buster Posey said, Strickland said, hey, you know what, I might get him. He said, listen, if you get him, I'm not putting these paws on him for you. I'm telling you right now, you're on your own if you throw at him. So when he threw at him and hit him, Buster Posey said, look, I told him, you on your own, dude. I am not going out there. I just can't. Look, I've had concussions. You are on your own. This is an unrighteous hit. You're on your own.
And if you look,
Posey wasn't the only one. I saw the shortstop. It took him a minute to – there was a couple punches on before he even came in. It's almost like Strickland's like that friend you got that always ready to fight, and you keep in your mind, I ain't fighting for him this time. Mm-mm. This time he on his own.
That's exactly what happened.
Yep. Like, look, you know, I'm not putting pause on it. I'm not getting suspended because you still harboring a grudge. But here's what I don't understand. Baseball handed down the suspension today. Strickland got 6 games, and Harper got 4. Why don't whatever happens with the everyday player, why don't the pitcher get 3 times as much? Because
Exactly. Those
are games that they don't even play in anyway. So if it's a mutual fight and one guy gets 3, the pitcher should get 9 because that'll affect his 3 starts. And you know what? If a pitcher misses 3 starts, I bet you they stop doing that nonsense.
You're right on. I mean, that is the biggest – I mean, that is so it's not balanced at all because, like you said, he's going to miss 1 start. And what's he going to do on the side anyway? He's going to throw a bullpen. He can throw a bullpen in his backyard, you know. So,
Yeah. Basically,
he misses 1 game. And I will say this much, the salary, he'll miss a little more in salary depending on what he makes. But so that'll hit his pocketbook a little harder. But like you said, there still really isn't any incentive – in terms of the games that he's missing, because he'll miss 1 start. Doesn't matter, I think if you're man enough to hit me with a baseball, I should have a right to call you out after the game, cage match, in one of the clubhouses. I mean, there's a whole lot of dudes, and you can tell they're real, real manly with that ball in their hand. Hey, come on, man. One of these days, Paul, I'll tell you about the worst time that I got hit one time. And I was out of character. I mean, I told the dude that hit me, I was basically told him in the most unkindest of words, if I see you after this game, that's your behind. And I invited him. I was like, look, meet me outside where the buses are. And it got pretty nasty. But they don't want none of that. They don't want no part of it.
And you're gonna put pause on him.
Oh, bro. Yeah, we was about to get down. He caught me at a bad time for no reason at all. Now, here's the scenario. I was in Double A with the Cubs. We're playing the Royals Double A team. Their closer, big Latin dude, comes in and gives up a bases loaded double to Doug Glanville, who's my roomie. Gives up a base loaded double, loses the basically falls behind. I'm the next batter up. Puts a 97-mile-an-hour fastball in my ribs, right? And for no reason, I didn't do anything to him. He's the one who came in and gave up the booty, right? So he goes, and man, I'm telling you, I lost it, dog. I mean, I like the catcher got in between us. I walked all the way to first base. I MF'd him all the way down to first base. The next batter hit a single. I run him around to third base, right? Their manager comes out and gets him, and he takes him out of the game, and he has to walk past the third base line where I'm standing. And I remember stuff coming out of my mouth that my mama would have been like, you need to go pray, boy, because you just, And I remember my manager, Dave Trimley, he was like in dead silence. And I heard later on at the game, he was telling people, I don't know what got in the head. I never heard him talk like that. I was just, that's because, bro, I was hot.
Sometimes it's the wrong day.
That was the closest I ever came to going, Paul. I was in over 1,000 games. I never got tossed out from a game for any reason. That was the closest I ever got to going.
Yeah, the MLB and the Players Union need to get together on this. And they really need to say to them, look, okay, we're going to suspend you for 9 games because you're a pitcher, which means it's basically your next 3 starts. But your game checks that you'll be fined are the same amount as a regular player. So we're not going to fine you, 9 days worth of salary. You'll get your 3 days worth of salary like the other player, but you're going to miss 9 games, 9 consecutive games or whatever, how many starting rotation areas. So if you have a 5-man rotation and the other guy gets 3 games, well, you miss 15 games technically. So that's your 3 starts. And I bet you pitchers would stop doing that because, as we said last time, it's okay for pitchers to celebrate with the fist and the yelling. It's okay for infielders to show off. It's okay for outfielders to show off after great catches. But the guy hitting the ball can do nothing. So
now,
the only way you're going to change that is to do something.
Lost in the whole thing, Paul, do you see, neither one of those dudes had any idea. Like, if either one of those dudes was caught in the back alley somewhere, they might as well just pull their wallet out and give it to whoever was trying to get it from them. because I didn't see any type of aggression or, you know, ability to fight in either one of them dudes. I was a little surprised that Harper didn't come with a little more thunder.
Yeah, you know what, though? I will say this, and maybe this is bad on my part, but I'm glad at least a couple punches landed. Because you never see the landing of the punches.
Yeah.
You know,
they landed.
You always, yeah, they landed. They landed a couple here and there, but they weren't great punches, but they landed. So I guess I'll take that. I mean, I can't ask for much. Online with Zonikary Lackey Law Line, the one only Ed Smith. Ed, did you see what John Mara said about Colin Kaepernick, possibly why he's not going to sign him with the Giants?
I did, Paul, and I almost did a double take when I heard it. I was driving and I heard it, and I almost drove off the road. And obviously, you know, I think we talked about this a long time ago. The whole thing with, you know, domestic violence with the punter on his team. I always forget his name, but.
He was a kicker, yeah.
Yeah, so you are the kicker, yeah. So you're more what he did was less egregious than what Kaepernick did, and Kaepernick was only trying to support a cause. This guy's out there beating up on his wife.
Yeah, yeah. That fan backlash would be too much. That's beyond me. So if you have a statement, a political statement to make. That's worse. So what you basically said is, not only did you condemn yourself, you basically said the people in New York would rather see a white beater play than someone who had a social conscience.
Yeah, exactly. And in reality, if you think about it, what did Colin Kaepernick do? All he did was he was trying to raise awareness to a cause. He didn't go out there and commit a crime. You know, and what they always talk about, one of the most heinous crimes is domestic violence. You know, And here's the other thing. Do you realize this man, after all that stuff came out, they gave him a contract extension.
Yeah.
Gave him a contract extension. Yeah.
Yep. And you know what's even funnier, which I don't get? Colin Kaepernick is not the only person who took a knee. But he's the only one that's being that's standing out for that because he started. What did he start? So we can translate that. So I was robbing banks by myself, and then I got some friends start robbing the banks with me. But I'm only going to be the one punished because I did it first. We don't let them off the hook. No, that wouldn't happen.
Exactly.
I think it's crazy. You know, look, Michael Vick has changed a lot, but it's cool. For someone to go to, I don't think he should have been in prison for 2 years. For whatever, I mean, they wanted to fine him, do a lot. But when I've seen guys kill people like a Dante Stallworth, and even though Ray Lewis claimed to have nothing to do with it, wink, wink, I just think it's amazing that we welcome all these guys back with open arms. But for someone who didn't kill anyone, didn't commit a crime, didn't do anything, he can't get a job?
Yeah, exactly.
Because he'll be too much of a distraction. You know what the distraction will be? The first day of the press conference, it'll be, so yada, yada, yada. Yeah, you know what? That was last year. Like I said, I've made my statement. I made my point. I'm done with it. I'm just here to play. There will be no other distraction. Everyone will wait till the first game of preseason. Oh, he's standing. First game of the regular season. Oh, he's standing. That's it. There's no story. There's
That's
no distraction.
It. Yep.
But I'm glad John Mara said that because you know what? I think he's proving collusion.
Oh, absolutely.
And I wish
that
he would do this.
Yeah. The worst thing he did was open it. You know, here's the thing. For all these years, New York has been known as one of the quote-unquote classiest organizations and all in the NFL and sports pretty much for, you know, a number of years. And, you know, to come out and make an idiotic statement like that just shows – what's going on behind the scenes. He could have kept his mouth shut and nobody would have ever knew that was his quote-unquote stance. The fact he threw that out there, I don't know who his PR people are, but and I'm pretty sure that after he said it, they were like, oh, my goodness, what is he talking about? When you can put in – and Lawrence Taylor is one of the most – I love Lawrence Taylor. Grew up watching him. Lawrence Taylor's past is not the cleanest in all of, you know, the world, and they've had several other people that have done things and – you know, so to come out and, you know, bask Colin instance where, like I said, the man really didn't even do anything. That's kind of crazy. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but I think it's nuts. But you know what someone said to me? He didn't do it when he was in the Super Bowl. Yeah. No, he did it when he had the most to lose. And when you do something and you stand up for something when you have the most to lose, to me, that means you're really behind the cause. Because he could have shut up. He could have waited. He could have signed a new contract, long-term deal. Someone would have been with him no matter what, and he could have hit it in. But he did
exactly.
What he had the most to lose. And to me, when you do that, that means that you are really behind what's going on.
Exactly.
So, we'll find out. You know, I'll call this, you know, Days of Our Kaepernick, like a soap opera. And let's find out what's been a couple of weeks. So these NBA finals are about to start. But I just want to know, did you hear Doc Rivers by chance today talking about Kevin Durant?
No, I missed that.
So Doc said, you know, in his playing days, it's back to the playing days, I wouldn't have joined this team. I wouldn't have joined that team. Kevin Durant, yada, yada, and, you know, he the way it's supposed to work, and he's doing okay. Let me back this up. Do you know one of the people that Doc Rivers courted this summer to come to his team? Kevin Durant.
No.
Yes.
Of course.
In fact, there was, I remember exactly him saying, or in the press release, the Clippers have secured a meeting with Kevin Durant on his free agent search. So, I'm as old school as they come with certain things. You know, I like when players say, I wouldn't play with this, I wouldn't play with that, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. That's fine. But in the old days, there were several super teams. Just because the management could pull it off, just because the way the salary cap was structured, they could pull it off. Because the players now have the movement, it's funny that all these old school players are coming out saying this, but they did the same thing. Paul Pierce talking about the unspoken rule, and I didn't even know we had those in basketball, to be honest with you, was you can't go to your enemy. I heard Scottie Pippen say, you can't go to your enemy directly, because when Dennis Rodman came to us, first he went to San Antonio, then he came to us. I'm like, where are all these rules at? I don't get it anymore. I don't. And I love what Kevin Durant said. I don't know if you heard it, but he said, I'm not the reason Orlando's been bad for the last 6 years. I'm not the reason this other team has been bad for the last 4 years. It's the way they draft. That's not on me.
Exactly.
And he's right.
You know, that's just sour grapes. And, you know, when you look at, you know, any one of them would have done the same thing. And I think it was, I want to say, I'm going back in memory, when Durant was doing his little tour over there on the East Coast, he went over there to Boston or somewhere and had some of the teams come in. They sent the whole bunch of players over there to try to woo Kevin Durant to come to L.A., to the Clippers. So, you know, Doc needs to squash all that. If he'd have went there to L.A. to be with them, he'd have been the first one standing in front of Kevin talking about he had every right to go wherever he wanted to play. So,
yep. He wasn't saying that when in Boston, when Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen came.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is you see how bad they talk about Ray now that, you know, like after everything's all said and done, they wouldn't even invite him back for the when he went to Miami, they wouldn't even invite him back for their little reunion not too long ago.
Yeah, because he went to the enemy. Now, the only person I like in that is Rondo, because Rondo didn't like him anyway. Rondo could care less where he went. Rondo just didn't like him. they had beef, so he just doesn't like Ray Allen.
Exactly.
Ray Allen could have went to the St. Louis Christians. Rondo like, good, he gone. I do not care. So, and that's honestly, out of all this, that's why I like Rondo's position the best, because Rondo doesn't come with that. He went to this team. He went to that team. He just don't like him, and he's stuck by that, and it's no change in his mind. And we don't know what made them hate each other, but he does not care.
No, there's a lot of bitterness left there. But, you know, like I said, Allen, he had every right to go where he did and do what he did, and he walked away with another championship. So you can't blame him, man. Plus, I heard that Allen and Doc Rivers didn't get along too well anyway. So
they didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't. So it's kind of, you know, it's funny because when you look at Boston and you listen to Garnett and you listen to Pierce, you would think they won like 3 or 4 titles.
Yeah, exactly.
They won one. They won, put together, they won no more than Dallas did. They won one title.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny when you listen to them talk about, well, you know, what they built and what they had. Y'all didn't build anything. You got traded into it and signed as a free agent into it. And then you won one ring. So if anything, you got a super team to win one.
That's that bitter pill, so, though, man.
Yeah, it is. Hey, you know what I saw, man? I know it's not sports related, but I saw one of the best of Martin's, and it kind of reminds me of when they're talking about the, you know, the one right thing when Hustle Man comes into the barbershop and he's selling he's selling a little bit of everything. He opens his coat and he has everything going, and Cole looks at Martin and he goes, "Why don't you ask him if he sells engagement rings?" And he goes, "Oh yeah, that's in the jewelry department." And he takes a bag out of his pocket filled with a bunch of rings. And Martin says, "I'm not buying that fake stuff." And Hustle Man looks at him and says, "Now that hurt my feelings. I have all good stuff." And he puts a cigarette in his mouth and he starts going, "Come on, man." And that's what that reminds me of. All they had was that one bag of rings. And he's talking all that
mess. I used to love me some Hustle Man. I love some Hustle Man.
I still contest he is the best side character that show had. Tracy Morgan killed Hustle Man.
Oh, wait a minute, though. I don't know about Jerome. Romy Rome.
Yeah, no, but I mean, that was still Martin. I mean, he was the best side. Like,
oh,
yeah, someone
yeah,
who was
okay,
normally not
yet.
Yeah. Yeah, man, he killed that role.
Yeah, he did.
Especially when my man said, "I got that free range chicken." He's like, "What does that mean?" He goes, "It was free for me. It was range of $15 for you." Hustle Man was the best, especially when he was selling that chicken loaf.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man, yeah. So, yeah, I was, yeah, but when he showed those rings, I was like, that reminds me of Boston. Got one bag of rings and talking nonsense.
Yes, indeed. Oh, boy, that's funny.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to go find my DVDs of Martin and everyone with Hustle Man. I'm going to have to pull out.
Yeah, go to YouTube. You can pull it right up on YouTube.
Yeah, man, I might have to sit around tonight and do that a little bit later.
Yep,
that had me rolling. So who you got in the finals?
Man, oh my goodness. I'm so torn because I'm not a fan of either organization, but I've grown to dislike Golden State more as the past couple of years have gone by. On the flip side, if LeBron pulls this off, then more people are going to be coming out the side of their neck talking about how he matches up with Jordan, and you and I have talked about this. That's sacrilege. So, you know,
yep.
I'm torn, man. I'm like, it's like voting for the lesser of two evils. Now, if you had to poll me on, I'll say this much. I'm not going to say who I want to win because I don't want either one of them to win. But who I think is going to win, you got to kind of go with Golden State with all that talent they have. I mean, it's basically a 4-on-2.5-3 fight every night. So, you know, I got to go with Golden State probably, I would say, in 6.
I'm with you on that. I'm definitely with you on that. I have Golden State in 6. But you know what? I think it depends. This is going to sound crazy. If Golden State gets the first two at home, I wouldn't be surprised if it went 5.
That's a possibility because, they could go there and split and then come back and finish it up at home. So wait. Is it 4-3-2 or no? 2-3-2 or 2-2-1-1-1?
2-2-1-1-1.
Okay. If it was that 2-3-2 stuff, I would, you know. But, yeah, I'm with you. I go, if they sweep at home, I can see them getting one in Cleveland and come back and finishing up in five. So, yeah, you're right on that.
Yeah, and you know what? I will tell you this. If I say that again, I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, you know what? I as a Chicago fan, I don't like anything Cleveland. So I'm actually rooting for Golden State. I don't like the Indians. I don't like the Cavaliers. I don't like that. Well, the Browns will never do nothing. So they just there. But yeah, I'm anti everyone in the White Sox division or the Bulls division.
Yeah. It's hard though. Like I said, because I don't the attitude of Golden State over the last few years has just kind of turned me off. You know, I think I love the skill set they all have, but like Draymond Green, he just makes me want to smack him every chance every time I see him. He's always got something to say, and he's one of them dudes, man. If I played with him, I'd be constantly telling him to shut up, and if I played against him, I'd be telling him twice as many times to shut up.
Isn't he funny though? The guy seems the more he acts, the better he plays. He's sitting for White Man Can't Jump.
Yeah, exactly. He feeds on it. And here's another thing. Here's what he does too. You got to remember this. He takes other people out of their game by all that talking.
Yep.
He's
so frustrated with him. Yeah.
Remember how Smokey said it's my game.
What is Smokey? Mine.
Smokey said, yeah. When I set up when he here. When he leave, I be talking.
You like the guy dealt with.
So you like the guy dealt with.
Yeah, goes over to take out me and my homie.
You like the guy dealt with. First of all, so we call him like you some Jeep.
Well, I got your money anyway. that's a classic right there. I got your money anyway. I ain't selling this for you anymore.
Oh boy, yeah, I got sidetracked. Y'all didn't know where we were.
Hey, ain't no problem with that. But last week when we talked, I said I think Kevin Durant will be MVP. You know, mm-hmm. As crazy as it sounds, I'm sticking with that. But part of me thinks it just might be Klay Thompson. Because if there's anyone due to bust out of a slump, he might be the one.
Yeah. It's crazy, though, bad as, quote-unquote, he's playing, it's still rolling. Like, they even skipped a beat.
No, because they can play so many different ways. If Klay is in, you put him in off pick and roll action, so that way when they double, he's open. If he's hidden, you then have to watch how you double. If he's missing, then they put Stephen Durant in the pick and roll, or they put Draymond Green. If he's hitting threes, then they put him in the high screen top pick and roll. There's really no weakness. And I'm just wondering. I heard someone say, where are they going to hide Kevin Love on defense? As good as Kyrie is on offense, where are they going to hide Kyrie?
Oh, exactly.
On defense.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you, like, with the X's and O's, if you're Cleveland, what is their strategy? I mean, do you try to – because obviously they try to match up and throw up a bunch of threes as well. You're not going to do that. You're not going to beat Golden State unless they have an off night in that manner. Now, do you try to trap Curry or trap Steph? And, but then you've got to deal with Durant. I mean, what is your plan of attack?
I try to get Curry in foul trouble with Kyrie Irving. I think that's the first thing I try to do. I do everything in my power to get Kyrie going to the hoop and see if he can get them in foul trouble. Same with Draymond. If I'm LeBron, because Draymond helps a lot, I try to get him in foul trouble. I have to get someone in foul trouble every game to take them away. If Durant is guarding LeBron head up, I'm trying to get him in foul trouble, because you have to eliminate one of them to have a chance. You know, you really do. And because after you go through those guys, their bench is playing well. And the one thing, though, that they have to be careful of, you have to find a way to keep Tristan Thompson off the boards.
Oh, yeah.
You have to. You know, because that's the one thing he does extremely well. So you got to find a way to keep him off the boards. Otherwise, you're in trouble.
The one thing I worry about is you. I think you're right on point with getting them in foul trouble. You know, other than LeBron and occasionally Kyrie, there's such an outside shooting team, all that spot up stuff that you almost get, it's scary that they might get into a long range contest with them, and then it just gets out of hand. If you, like you said, and one thing I've never understood is LeBron James, as strong and powerful as he is, he's always, and he handles the ball a lot, but I mean, every now and then, I say, LeBron, this game, we're going to put you in the post and we're going to deliver it down there to you 30 times a night. Do what you want to do with it. I mean, I would have
to. Yeah, you won't do that.
You think about, even with Kevin Durant's size, LeBron goes down on the block, puts him on his back. You know, now he's received the ball and put a couple moves on him. Like you said, foul trouble, whatever. But, I mean, you don't see that enough from Cleveland. Even LeBron, like I said, he gets so happy with tossing up threes and doing everything on the perimeter. I'll never understand how that team ever gets to down to like the shot clock 3-2-1 and somebody taking a fadeaway 3-pointer. That would be the last thing on this planet they should be doing.
LeBron doesn't like playing in the post.
I know. Michael loves to work playing in the post.
Let me ask you a question. I heard someone say this today. LeBron James has been an underdog in almost every finals that he's been in. And everyone's talking about how he's won a couple even when they were an underdog. If he's better than Mike, and he's all that, when was the last time Michael Jordan was an underdog to anybody?
Never.
So if he's the best player on a team with two other all-stars that's in their third finals in a row, how are they still an underdog? Because if Michael was on that team, they wouldn't be an underdog. So how am I saying,
absolutely,
you know what? And you're the best player in the world. You have two all-stars. You got the best rebounder coming into the series. They have four all-stars too, but their bench isn't as cohesive as yours considering they've been together longer. How are you an underdog? Michael was never an underdog. Never, not once.
Makes no sense to me.
Yeah, it makes – there isn't. There's little things, you know, and I love the millennial LeBron people. I love them. It's like if you don't think he's better than Michael, then there's something wrong with you. No, he's not. And then they start giving all these numbers, and then they hit you with the, well, if you just want to count rings. Well, first, I'm always going to count rings because in basketball, it's the only sport that you play offense and defense. So you can affect the game all the way through the game. But if you want me to take rings out, I'm going to give you something that we used to use a lot growing up and playing, and you play professionally, the eyeball test.
That's it.
Michael Jordan, the eyeball test tells you, and then they say, well, LeBron has made all his players better. Luke Longley couldn't keep a job in Phoenix after the Bulls split up.
Exactly.
There's all these cats that won rings in Chicago, left and got paydays, and couldn't play. They couldn't play.
Yeah.
Technically, there was only three guys or four guys that could play on that team at that level. Horace Grant the first time around, Dennis Rodman, Tony Kukoc, all the rest of the guys were role players. And
you
he
know
was never
was?
None of them.
You know what it was, Paul? Michael was working with the Land of Misfit Toys, and he made every one of them better. There was a good nucleus cast, but none of them other than Pippen were what you call quintessential all-stars or anything like that. And think about the number of centers they went through with Cartwright and Longley and what was the other one?
They had Stacey King coming off the bench.
Yeah.
And so he got all them guys' rings.
Yeah.
You know, and then it cracks me up.
There's always got to be a reason, though. They can never give credit where credit is due. And the other thing, I think you and I talked about this last time we talked, the era of basketball has changed so much. You imagine Michael Jordan in a league where nobody could put their hands on him?
It'd be ridiculous.
Oh, I mean, the man would score 50 points every night.
It'd be ridiculous. And that's why when we talked last time, I said, to me, he still has to catch Kobe. Because outside, Pau Gasol was called soft his entire career in Memphis. And then all of a sudden, he's playing championship-level ball in L.A., but Kobe doesn't make anyone better. Shannon Brown, and that's my boy. I know Shannon. Shannon's my boy. But look at the way he played in L.A. versus the role they gave him in Phoenix.
Yeah,
it's all these, and I'm not talking the Shaq Lakers. I'm talking the Kobe Lakers. Look, you know, you have professionals, true professionals, who could play with any system and do anything. But when you look at that Laker roster, especially the one that beat Boston, Andrew Bynum was always banged up. Once he got paid, you could tell he really didn't care about hoops. He just wanted he played to get paid. And once he got paid, he was set. So look at that roster, and you mean to tell me Kobe didn't make those guys better than what they really are? Not one of them? But every time LeBron plays, he's making everybody else better? I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that. These great players made everybody better.
Yeah.
So to me, it's funny. On that last Laker team that won those last two rings, other than Paul Gasol, who goes to the Hall of Fame? Or who's a perennial all-star? Who has a shot at the Hall of Fame on that team? Nobody.
Nobody.
Not playing
no.
at that level. Lamar Odom is in the Hall of Very Good. He's not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You know, so when you stop and think about it, LeBron, he's going to the Hall of Fame. If Kyrie keeps up at this pace, he's going to the Hall of Fame. You can't tell me they're not going to put Kevin Love in the Hall of Fame if he keeps
oh,
up
absolutely.
At this pace.
Oh, yeah.
So he's playing with Hall of Famers. Kobe played with one who was called soft until he got there.
Yep.
So I don't think it's ridiculous. There's so much. Look, no one is saying LeBron isn't good. LeBron is very, very good. Maybe he's the second best player of all time. Who knows? Maybe he's the third. Maybe he's behind Magic. Maybe he's behind Kobe. But there's one GOAT. And the one thing, now that this playoffs have had so many rest days, and I feel like I'm in a basketball bye week, like it's football, all we have heard are these stories. And I can still hear, what's his name, Broussard? Man, he killed me. Well, LeBron, LeBron, what do you think the Warriors are going to do at the end of the bench? Well, when LeBron had it, man, ain't nobody asking you about LeBron.
Yeah.
You asked the Golden State question. Kind of like Peter Gammon when he used to be on ESPN. Well, the Dodgers just signed a free agent. How do you think this helped them in a pennant run? Well, Boston was going to sign him, and the Red Sox said, I'm not asking you about the Red Sox. Come on, man. I'm asking you about a whole other team. And here you go with that Red Sox again. Because you know that always happens. Hey, man, how's your cousin? Oh, man, everything is good. I just bought a new car. Man, I don't care about your car. I said, how's your cousin doing?
Oh, boy.
Like, damn, I hate asking him questions. Oh boy! All right, so we got them both in six, and they get started on Thursday. We might have to find a way to get together next week and watch one of these games.
Man, that would be good. Like I said, it's funny. I mean, that both teams, they swept through the dog on all the rounds, and it's almost like the season just stopped. And, you know, we're going to have to get back into it all over again.
Yeah, like I said, we are on our bye week. So, hey, tell everyone how they can listen to you every week.
Man, I'm on 1060 AM, Easy Sports Talk, 10 to 12 every Saturday. On Twitter at Ed Smith Speaks, and also the Easy Sports Talk. And the website is edsmithspeaks.com, man. Everything's going well, and just enjoying it.
I hear you. Well, it's a must check out show. So everyone definitely check it out. And if you out of range or out of town, tune in, right? They can get on tune in.
Was it NBC Sports 1060.com. .com /listen-live. Hey, that's a whole mouthful right there.
Hey, cool. Well, like I said, we have to get together and we have to grab our other brother and get him in there, too. We just got to be careful where we go. I don't want them thinking New Jack City walking through the place.
Hey, well, let me know, man. We'll grab us a cigar. I'll come down and hit a cigar with you, man.
Yeah, maybe we could hit a neutral spot somewhere in Scottsdale or something. So, you know, it's kind of equal distance, or downtown Phoenix, somewhere where it's kind of equal distance for everyone to get to.
That'll do it, man. Let's figure it out.
All right, well, listen, I appreciate it very much, and I'll talk to you soon. Like I said, they kick it off Thursday, so I never realized how boring this time of year is. I love tennis, but It's when it's in another country, the times don't line up for me.
Well, it's even worse with Serena out. You know, she's pregnant, so I got even less interest.
And she probably went.
She would if she won the played, yeah.
She won the Australian pregnant. Didn't nobody know? Sharapova better get it. She better get in every tournament that she can. Because when Serena come back, her reign is over. Sharapova better still bribe, do whatever she can to get in these tournaments.
Well, they better watch out for baby Serena in about 17, 18 years.
You in line, boy. The gene she has, be a monster. Be a monster. All right, my brother. Well, I will definitely catch up with you for sure.
Sounds good, Brother Paul. Have a great week, man.
All right, you too. Talk to you later now.
Okay.
Everyone, that was the one, the only answer. Like you were saying, check him out every week on 1060 every Saturday, AM 1060, from 10 till 2. Wow, as usual, this was the quickest 60 minutes. Wow. Hey, listen, everyone, I appreciate you sticking through us, especially through some of the technical difficulties that we had. You know where you can reach us at. You can get us at The Sports Cave on Twitter, Instagram, and the Facebook fan page. You go to sportscape.com for articles, updates, and anything of that nature. And, of course, you can get me directly at PLR on Sports on Twitter. So make sure you're checking me out. I always have something to say. My mouth is always running. Tomorrow we're going to do another special 8 o'clock time for Courtside with PLR. Handicap, I'll bore you to death with more breakdown of basketball, especially with the final starting on Thursday. I'll give you a heads up of what's going on there. This last segment was brought to you, of course, by the one and only Zeke's Peter Grill on Priest and Elliott. Get down and let them know PLR sent you, and they will take you for some option meal. Thanks again to Ed Smith giving us a call on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Always appreciate him rolling through. Again, tomorrow's special 8 o'clock start time for Courtside with PLR. So until then, I appreciate everyone for listening. Make sure you're tuning in, and we will get with you tomorrow. All right, everyone, have a good night. This has been The Cave Show. This is PLR. I am an eagle, oh, I am a lion down in the jungle. I am a marching band. I am the people, oh, I am a helping hand. I am a hero. If anybody asks you who I am, just stand up tall, look them in the face and say,